think about the hope of Jesus Christ, and you can't help but look at the decorations around us and the time and effort that was put in. Beautiful decorations, by the way. The tree's beautiful. What spawned, if you will, or what incited all this decorating? I think clearly the word hope sums it up. Hope is an important part of who we are and what we do. I mean, no one does anything without hope being generated within. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, a scripture I would like to read to you this morning, epitomizes, if you will, probably the best of any other scripture, the full events, or the fullness, should we say, of the Advent lighting. You got candles here that we light. Of course, the first one that we lit was hope. Then you have love, joy, peace, and the white candle represents Christ. And this scripture epitomizes all that probably better than any other scripture in the Bible as a collective group. And I want to read this to you, and this will be a scripture we will read every week up until Christmas, and then just pick out the different elements, if you will, or the different themes of the week through this scripture. So Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we think this morning very intently on hope, and we reflect and we ponder on that, hope is a curious thing, yet it's something that fills us all. I mean, we hope for something and hope in something. In our society today, we have lost the true meaning of what hope really is. Wish, the word wish, has become a synonym with hope. And when we say we hope something happens, there is a 50-50 chance that it might not happen. When we say, well, I hope that happens, we have a doubt there that that may happen or may not happen. Hope has become a synonym with wish. Wishing for something is just a desire for it to happen, but yet an uncertainty, if you will, of whether or not that is actually going to be. Hope, however, is a confidence, it's an expectation, a longing, it's a conviction. But it goes much further than the word wish. Hope, particularly in the day and age of John and Paul and the writings that we read here, even Jeremiah that we read back in Lamentations, hope is believing despite the circumstances or what others are telling you or how you perceive or how you feel that something is true. Hope is not a wish. It's a belief. And what we believe in, we wholeheartedly hope in. The scriptures that we heard Mike read this morning out of Lamentations, out of John, goes along with this idea of hope and what Paul says hope is all about. Jeremiah was left to die in a land that had been raided by the Babylonian Empire. The strongest people were taken captive and they were dispersed throughout the Babylonian nation. But those that the Babylonians perceived as weak or poor or sick, they just left in the land to die, to fend for themselves. And Jeremiah was among those people. Jeremiah prophesied the same time period as Isaiah, but there was a difference between their statuses. Isaiah was what was called a court prophet. He was an advisor to the king. The king would want to do something, and he would go to his advisors and ask what they thought God was saying about it. And Isaiah was one of those advisors. He was a court prophet. Jeremiah, on the other hand, was just a common folk prophet. He was just like a lay minister, if you will, that got up and preached the word. Didn't make him any less significant than Isaiah, or Isaiah any greater than him. But nonetheless, Babylon viewed Jeremiah as dispensable. They left him there with the poor and sick and afflicted to die. And it is during this time that is believed that he wrote Lamentations about the heartache and the pain that he experienced at the fall of his most cherished city and nation. And Jeremiah was no different than what we see David or all these other writers of Scripture. And it's interesting because they start off with this attitude. There's no hope in the world. I'm all up in arms here. There's nothing I can do. And in the end, that changes in their writings to, but I will trust in God. But the word of the Lord abides forever. The mercies and compassion of God is never ceasing. They're new every morning, Jeremiah says. And guess what? We need it every morning. This was written so that you and I could understand just exactly what this hope is all about. So that we would have hope. Because as human beings, we have these emotions that run within us, and this emotion of despair, this motion of ejection and all these other things, we're booted out of who we are and where we are. This despair. And it's a natural human response to adversity. But the Christian response always ends up back on God. We may start off saying, man, I don't know what's going to happen. There's no hope in the world for me. But in the end of it all, our hope, we know, lies in God. And our soul remembers. Paul talks about hope here in this scripture. He says, we've obtained access by faith in verse 2 into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, Paul, of course, is talking about salvation here. And he's saying, we have obtained access to God by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's where we find our solace. That's where we find our comfort. That's why we can make it through life. That's why that we can endure what we endure. Because as Paul said elsewhere, these light afflictions, and I like that he called them that, these light afflictions that we bear are not worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed in us one day. Because we hope in the glory of God, what that means is we hope for the day that God will be glorified, that He will be seen. But as we said, hope is more than a wish. Christians are fully convinced that God is God, that He's real, that Jesus Christ came to this earth. And it's sad to say today that a large percentage of Christians, a lot larger than what you want to imagine, no longer believe that He was born of a virgin. But the Bible says that he was. And that's enough for me. I don't know how all that works, but I have hope in it. To believe against all belief in what other people are saying, and no matter how I feel in my heart, that what God says is true, and even when I don't understand it, my hope leads me to accept. Now, I don't understand how all that works. But if we believe that God is omniscient, that God is omnipotent, that He's omnipresent, if we believe truly in those things, then there are no limits on what God can do and not do. And if He wants to impregnate a virgin, He's God. And it is so. I don't have to be there. I don't have to understand it. But I believe. That's the hope we're talking about this morning. Hope in the glory of God. Hope that produces endurance. Hope that produces faith. Paul says three things particularly, I believe, in this scripture about hope that we should note this morning. First, we see that hope is crafted by experience. Now, here in this version of scripture that we're reading this morning, the word character is used. Character, of course, has more to do with just your personality. It's who you are. And how better is our character developed than with experiences? You know, there's this big argument in philosophy, it has been for years, about what is innate and what is not innate, what is learned and what is inborn in a person, what is instilled in a person. There are certain things that we just know how to do, but there's a lot of things we have to learn how to do. And even when we have abilities that are innate, they have to be cultivated, if you will, from the outside, from experiences in life. We learn to hope in things because we experience things. What we believe, we long for. And what we long for shapes our lives. What we have come to experience and to see, we say we want that. And believe that we will have it. Hope is crafted by that experience that we've had with God. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, how can they believe unless someone is sent? And how can he be sent unless he's called? Paul understood, as well as God, that we do walk by faith, but evidence is necessary before we are willing to step out on faith. And so hope is confirmed by faith. Hope is an attitude. Faith is an action. Hope takes place on the inside while faith takes place on the outside. We oftentimes think of faith as being the inner action, but it's really the outer action. For example, one of the most frequently quoted scriptures in regard to faith is Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, which clearly says that. Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. See, hope is the attitude. Faith is the action. We exhibit faith because we have hope. They're not synonyms as we have made them in our society, but they are a product of one another. And particularly, faith is a product of hope. And it's a continual cycle as we hope and we act and we distribute or we exhibit, if you will, faith. Paul said, he who plows ought to plow in hope. And he who threshes should do so in hope of sharing the crop. Our hope should lead us to hope in those as well that God is also called to hope in Him. And we should invest our lives in others that have this hope within us. And you'll notice recurrently in the Scripture, hope is spoken about by being within. Let the love of God shine in our hearts, bringing us hope. May the hope of God fill our hearts and flood our minds. And we see that multiple places in the New Testament, because it is by faith that we live, because we have this hope. When Habakkuk said the righteous or the just would live by faith, he didn't mean that it was your works that saved you. We are very clear, I'm sure, I hope we are anyway, in the Scripture, that we cannot be saved by what we do. That Jesus Christ is the result of salvation alone. Paul says, it's by grace that you've been saved. It's by the favor of God, not because you've earned it, not because of works. It's a gift from God. And we need to be very clear that we are saved not by what we do. We don't have salvation, eternal life to come, because of something we've earned or who we are. But the Bible makes it very clear that we are saved by the grace of God. And when we're saved, we will work. But works never result in salvation. They are the result of salvation. It's our nature. Our nature's changed. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. Their nature is changed. We'll want to go to church. We'll want to do right. We'll want to love one another. We'll want to do the things of God, not because they make us saved, but because we are saved. And that hope within us that drives us is confirmed by what we do. And finally, hope is completed by Christ. 1 Peter 1:3 says, according to His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's gift of hope was Jesus Christ. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son. Hope is what started the process. And you'll notice that even with the arrangements of the candles and what we thematically embrace over the next few weeks. We were without hope in the world. Man needed hope. God provided that through His great love. We had joy because of it and peace with God. You see, that's the process of salvation right there. That's the process of regeneration. That's what happens to a person that experiences God. It's not just for Christmas. It is an experience that we celebrate every day. We emphasize it at Christmas, but it is more than a celebration. It's who we are. It's what we do because of the love of God, the hope of God, the peace of God, the joy of God. It's who we are because of the hope that we have in Him. In this world, there is little hope. As a matter of fact, when we read the Bible, we find out there is no hope for this world. In the end, it's going to be burnt up. There's no saving the world from destruction, because God said it would be destroyed. There is no hope for the world. The hope is for those that are called by God, who trust in his name.